Blog Talk Radio.
What'd you say about my mom? You feel sorry for who?
I don't want any trouble. Just get out.
What the fuck you say about my mom?
I don't want any trouble. Just get out.
Hello. Welcome once again to the Tiebreaker Radio Show. I am your host, Suge. And this is my little random segment I like to call How to Get Away with Basketball. It's a murder in the first 48. And so we're just looking at some current events with professional basketball today again. First topic of discussion here, breaking news. The Celtics have traded their number one pick to the Philadelphia 76ers. For their third-round pick. So swap of picks, plus the Celtics get next year's first-round pick of the Sixers and the following year's first-round pick of the Sixers. I think it's a protected pick. Yeah, it is a protected pick in 2019. Something along the lines of the Lakers, like trying to get their trade this year, like it has to be in the top three or it goes to the other team. So we'll see how that works out. But Celtics fresh off of that number one seed, which a lot of people called them the worst number one seed in history. I happen to think that was the Dallas Mavericks, 2007. But we all have our opinions. Fact is, they were the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. That's a win. They should not be getting the number one pick. But they are. Through some willing and dealing, apparently it was a result of the Paul Pierce trade to Brooklyn. Brooklyn's desperation to try to be relevant with the new owner and new build fail, but you know, can't handle the Celtics for it. You know, a lot of people like to do that, and you know, I'm a Lakers fan. I'm all about teams doing whatever they can to get around to winning. I'm not a fan of other teams and other fan bases complaining about other teams' ability to get other players. You know, right now, us in L.A., we're going through a drought where our owner for the last 20-something odd years, he's had 10 of the 16 championships won here, won in Los Angeles. He passed in 2013, and that was, you know, his son had just started basketball operations in, 2010, a year after they won the NBA championship. He was only noted for scouting and drafting Andrew Bynum when the Lakers had the 10th pick. And what was that, 2007, 2008? Maybe it was, yeah, I think it was 2007, something like that. Anyway, it was just been a bit rocky year. I mean, rocky couple of years for the Lakers. No players are coming there. We've been at the bottom of the league. No playoffs last 3 years. And it's hell for Lakers fans because they're not used to this, you know. But I don't hear any Lakers fans complaining about other teams, talking about what other teams are doing as far as getting their players, you know, kind of just taking it, hoping that somebody's comes, you know, looking towards the future. Unlike the rest of the NBA, certain Cleveland Cavaliers owner who wrote an angry letter when the Chris Paul trade to the Los Angeles Lakers happened, or didn't happen, as it was reversed by David Stern after that. I still got a little bit of resentment to Cleveland, to the Cavaliers for that. You know, that was some, you know, hater stuff. You know, mad because y'all lost LeBron James, but y'all eventually got him back, and y'all had another couple of number one picks. Kyrie Irving, Anthony Bennett, got to draft Andrew Wiggins, but he didn't play. You know, y'all had really good fortune. And, you know, NBA working good for y'all now. But as people already know, Los Angeles Lakers will be back to the top, hopefully, or in my estimation. Anyway, speaking of the Los Angeles Lakers NBA draft, still coming up upon us, Lonzo Ball has made his second workout with the Lakers. Not really, Lakers wasn't really impressed with the first one. So something about his conditioning, he didn't look like he was comfortable, tired a little bit, felt out of his element, which I can understand. The campaign that him and his dad have been on, try to promote him, try to get him to the draft and do the hype. They've done a good job of that, including his you know, independent shoe deal, which, you know, he's polarizing. You either love him or you hate him. And there's a lot of hate going on around there, especially around, you know, broadcasting circles, a lot of sports radio talk or TV, even former players, Shaquille O'Neal. Now, Abdul-Jabbar said something about it, said something to the effect that LeVar Ball, I guess what he's doing with his son is not good for the college game, which we all know a one-and-done rule is not good for the college game. But, hey, it's college. You're making millions off of these kids for free. So I think Kareem, some of these newer players fail to realize how much money that's at stake here. You know, back in Kareem's day, he won, what, four championships or three championships in 4 years? He never, like, UCLA didn't make money off of that. They didn't make a lot of money, as much as UCLA made last year. You know, the money is different. So, you know, you get to see it. You know, people start making video games with the likeness of these players. They sell in the jerseys. So players naturally and their families won't in on that. And I think that this is just a product of that. So shout out to Lonzo and Bart Ball. Good luck on the NBA draft. Kind of iffy on if I want the Lakers to pick him. If he's as good as advertised, go ahead and get him. Apparently he's a can't miss. He's 6'6", can't teach height. A good vision and, you know, good attitude about it. So I believe he'll make it in the NBA. But I'm tempted to say either go Josh Jackson or, I mean, I might even say De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox a little bit slimmer. He did get the best of Lonzo Ball in the tournament. I think any three of those players are going to be good. Also, Jason Tatum from Duke. He's going to be, I think, if he can get consistently jump shot, three-point shot, he's going to be a monster player, maybe even an all-star. Markelle Fultz, I don't know really too much about him besides what I've read. I didn't get a chance to really see Washington play during the college year. Not that I watched a lot of college basketball, but I followed it a little bit. There's also Malik Monk from Kentucky. I think he's a tremendous athlete. But we'll see. I think that the Sixers are going to be kind of itching to see who they're going to take. They might surprise us. Not this number one pick is going to switch. And, they might take Lonzo. And in that case, what do you do if you're L.A.? We'll see. Lots of time leading up to the NBA draft right now. Let's get into some other hot topics. Again, congratulations to the Golden State Warriors for winning the 2017 NBA championship. Kevin Durant getting his first ring. It took him a lot to do it. He had to go join the Warriors to do so, which, of course, fans and a lot of LeBron fans don't like it, mostly because they stopped LeBron from getting another championship, and that's Cleveland fans or LeBron fans themselves, that's what they need most. They don't need any more points, assists, triple-doubles, any of those championships so they can confirm what they already believe, and that's that LeBron James is the greatest player to ever play the game. I disagree, but he is one of the best. He's got to be in everybody's top 10. He is in my top 5. Maybe I'm just off the top of my head. I'd say top 5. I can be argued. I can be swayed. You know, I'm willing to listen to some meaningless stats to be swayed by that. But make it mean something. Numbers don't lie, but people can lie with numbers. Other news. Let's see. Well, speaking of the championship, during the championship parade, it's like Draymond Green was wearing a shirt that said "Quickie," with the symbol of the Q in Cleveland Arena, the Quicken Loans Arena. And that was to describe, in his words, the series was so short with Cleveland. They got him out of here quick. So, shout out to Draymond Green for being a funny guy. And LeBron had a clapback. He had a shirt that had 23 from Cleveland, greater than 23 from Golden State, obviously. I like both of them. Both of them were nice. Of course, Draymond had the last laugh because he has the ring. Now, a lot has been talked about you know, whether or not this championship counts for Kevin Durant or the Warriors because of what they did. A 73 win, went out and got Kevin Durant. And a lot of people, including myself, are already saying, hey, look, LeBron started this super team thing. And it gets even worse when LeBron gets on the podium and says after the finals, he don't believe in super teams. He don't believe he was ever part of a super team. And that's where you lose. That's where you lose. No, you was part of a super team. No, you started this. You was the king. You was on top of the NBA. It was Kobe and LeBron. You know, there was a lot of teams that was out there. Of course, the Spurs were doing their thing. The big three in Boston. But LeBron and Kobe were in the NBA around that time. And people forget that Cavaliers had back-to-back 60-win seasons before LeBron left. So it wasn't like his team was trash or not winning. A lot of people just like to say it was with a lot of bums. Like they brought in people. They brought in Shaq, Antoine Jameson, Ben Wallace. They brought in basically anybody he wanted or anybody they could get. And Cleveland apparently didn't want to get rid of, I think, J.J. Hickson for somebody because they believed in J.J. Hickson. Well, I got to say, Cleveland kind of deserved that, him leaving. But it doesn't change the fact. He joined two all-stars in their primes. And two, at the time, they were perennial all-stars. Dwayne Wade, I think, still got in an all-star game last year, I believe so. But, yeah, he joined two perennial All-Stars on the team. People just started coming. Yeah, Mike Miller, eventually Ray Allen came over to the team. That's the thing. It's not like it's new for players later in their careers to go to other teams to ring chase. It happens. Charles Barkley did it. Moses Malone famously did it after his MVP season, the 4-4-4. Of course, Karl Malone, Gary Payton, the Lakers in 04. Scottie Pippen, who didn't need it, more so I think Scottie just needed the money and didn't want to stop playing. But he joined the Rockets and the Blazers and made them some pretty good teams. It's not that that's a bad thing. I don't think that that's bad for the game. It's just that when people say that KD had to join a 73-win team, he had to join the Warriors to beat LeBron. LeBron had to join Miami to beat the Celtics. You know, it's the same thing. It's different circumstances, but it's the same thing. They switch teams to play with players that they like playing with. And that's what LeBron did, you know. He wasn't basically saying, hey, y'all trash. Just that I don't really like playing with y'all. We was good, but you know, I'm tired of doing all the heavy lifting and scoring in the end, at the end of the game. At the end of the game, chips is down or we looking to score, everybody looks to me. And I'm trying to make the right basketball play. I need other people that can do the same like me. I need other playmakers. And he got it. Got Dwayne Wade. He got Chris Bosh, and two of the best at the time. You know, Dwayne Wade might go down as the third best shooting guard of all time. It's arguable, you know, besides Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan, who at that two-guard position can, you know, have that resume for the NBA championship, won MVP, all-star bursts, all-time leading scorer in Miami Heat history. You know, it was a pretty big jump. You know, I'm not going to kid ourselves and say that it's the exact same as KD joining the 73-win Golden State Warriors after they had lost to them up 3-1 in the Western Conference Finals. It was already a step from facing LeBron anyway. I think KD remembered that 2012 NBA Finals when he lost with Harden and Westbrook. Kind of saw the writings on the wall. I think that this really ain't KD's fault. It's really not LeBron's fault. Really, it's the Thunder's fault and Sam Presti, because they should have paid James Harden instead of Serge Ibaka. Looking back on it right now, neither of them are with the team, but you got to best believe that teams would rather have James Harden than Serge Ibaka right now. So that was a mistake. And I think if James Harden stays on there, look at Look at Russell Westbrook. Look at James Harden, KD, what they're doing right now. Imagine all three of them on the same team right now against the 2016 Golden State Warriors, against the 2016 or 2017 Cavaliers. That's a you call it. I think they could have did it. You know, it's neither here nor there. We'll never know. But I think this idea of the super team needs to be explained on why we're calling it the super team. Number one, players have an obligation. They have a job, and that's to play the game of basketball. They come out there and they play on the court. The coach has a job. A lot of people used to say, you know, Jordan was the coach, Kobe was the coach. I'm like, no, Phil Jackson was the coach. He coached the basketball teams. You know, Kobe had other coaches. Jordan had other coaches. And he ain't win with them. You know, Popovich don't win the championship every year. You know, but they rotate players in there, so that he's the longest tenured coach. Coaching means something. It has an impact on the game and on the team, whether positive or negative. So you can't discount or discredit that part of the game because you have a player who's smart at basketball, like a Kobe Bryant, like a LeBron James. And Cleveland fans want it both ways. They want to say, oh, he's the best player in the world. He do everything for the team. Nobody can touch him. He the coach, all of this. But then they don't want to accept the fact that he's the one that started the super team, started joining other players and playing with other players. Like, they don't want to accept the fact that, oh, he can't do it by himself. That's what they'll fall back on when they lose. Well, I thought he just could do everything. You know, we saw Russell Westbrook average a triple-double for a season. So don't hit me with that fill up the box score thing. A lot of players can fill up the box score, as we see. It's winning. Can you win? He's got a good win percentage, and so does Tim Duncan. So does Dirk Nowitzki. They have great win percentages. You know, overall, we talk about game-by-game basis. It's one that's going to count at the end of the day. You know, people will forget. Fans will change. Fans won't remember, and this is the YouTube age now. So we can see old clips of Jordan, Kobe, and everything. But everything that LeBron's doing, any superstars now, it's fresh. It's right in our minds. We can see it coming live. And you're not going to be able to hide it. People will forget what players have done, but they remember the numbers. They remember the Jordan 6-6 championships, MVP, three or four times. They remember the LeBron's a four-time MVP. They remember that Kobe only got one MVP. They remember Kobe Bryant's red case more than they remember his stats, you know, and what he offered, what he did for the game of basketball, and the run that he had since he entered the league and left the league. 20 years of thing, and he took the game by storm. And LeBron's doing the same thing. When it's all over, they're going to line him up just like they line Kobe up, Jordan, Bill Russell, Magic Johnson, any player that's ever played the game. And they're going to count you by your stats. And where you fall short, there ain't no excuses. You know, you can make all type of arguments. Right now, I can make the argument that Kobe Bryant was better than Michael Jordan because he had to play with different rules in a different era. You know, I pulled up a couple of things. A lot of people don't know that the lockout in 1998, after Jordan won his last title and he retired, the lockout was really about, number one, player salaries, which Jordan was the last player to make $30 million a year in one season. The second on his team, the number two player, Scottie Pippen, was making $2 million. You know, and the Bulls didn't want to pay Jordan all of that anymore. They didn't want to start a new contract with him making 30-something upward million, you know, because they realized they had to pay other players. And they was going to blow the whole thing up. They were. They was just going to keep Michael if they could, pay him his money, and try to get other players, which would have been disaster. Mike did the right thing by leaving at the time. The game was good. Left out on top. Only to come back, of course. But a lot of things changed in that night, that season after. We all know that they had the 50-game season, which the Spurs won. I don't like to count that season at all because it didn't give a lot of players preseason training camp and to get any rhythm when regularly the season is 82 games. Same can be said about the 66-game season when the Miami Heat won the championship. Miami Heat was a really, really good team, and not to say that the Spurs weren't, but I think both were kind of, you know, I'll look at them different, and I think a lot of other NBA fans look at them different because of that. But the biggest change that I'll say from that 98-99 season, 2000, was the elimination of the zone defense. Now, that is big. Jordan played his whole career in the era where the zone defense was illegal. And I'll read the rules down to you. From 1991 till that 1999, zone defense was weak side defenders may come to the pro lane for more than may come into the pro lane for more than 3 seconds. A defender on post players is allowed in the defensive three second area. So you can be in the lane if you're on the weak side, but you got to get out 3 seconds apply if you're on the strong side. And as a defender, you can stand in the lane if a post player is there. But the player without the ball may not be double-teamed from the weak side. So that means if you're going to double-team, you got to straight-up double-team from the strong side, which means players that ISO, like a Jordan, like a Kobe, can see it coming faster. You know, even if they got their heads turned around or they're coming off of a pick and roll. So, you know, that's a big thing. That is a big thing. Now you could zone. Now players could play a zone. It also said, offensive player above the foul line inside the circle must be played by the defender inside the dotted line. Dotted line being the dotted line in the key. So you got to be right in front of him. If you step inside of that circle in there, you got to be right in front of him. You can't play him any other way. You can't force him. You can't step outside to try to shade and play center field like LeBron, like Kobe was doing in a later part of his career. That was a no-no. Also, offensive players above the top of the circle, defender must come into the bitch position above the foul line. So if he's at the three-point line, even if he ain't got a three-point shot, you got to be above the foul line. You got to kind of respect his jumper. I mean, that would have worked good for players like Rajon Rondo. You remember the two finals that Kobe played in the Celtics where Kobe was guarding Rajon Rondo and would play like center field. You know, where he could. So, advantages and disadvantages. The big talk between Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant is number one championship count. Michael 6-6, Kobe 5-7. But they it still seems like that one ring or that record that is a far greater thing. People talk about shooting percentages and points per game, assists per game, which is it's really minuscule. We talk about 6 assists per game versus 5 assists per game. 5 rebounds versus 6 rebounds a game, it's one more rebound. You really telling me a player that played 20 years and only averaged one less rebound than this player, but he's just clearly better? It's, you know, the rules can make up for that. Not having a lot of zone defense, that extra pass, you know, a lot of Jordan's passes, when he would pass on ISO, is a direct shot. Direct shot because of some of these rules that require no weak side defender can come to double team. It has to be from a strong side. Got to defend him when he's inside of the circle above the foul line, or you got to be above the foul line when he's behind the three-point line. Again, all of that was eliminated in 1999, 1998 after that season. And that changed a lot of things for how people played defense. It also, I mean, it could be a negative because there are a lot of rules that didn't allow things like forearms to impede process, knees, and things like that. So it's different areas. So you can't just line up the numbers. To me, I go by what the players say. Players know more than us. The players say Michael Jordan's the greatest. Kobe Bryant's like 1B right behind him. And if he had that sixth championship, it would be close. Now, LeBron James, freaking nature. Stat sheet stuffer. But he's not the same type of player as Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan. In fact, I think if LeBron was in the older NBA, Kobe and LeBron was in the older NBA, I think number one, Kobe's shooting percentage would be a lot better. And I think LeBron's would be too, but I think LeBron would be taking less three-pointers, a lot less three-pointers. Or maybe more because of the pounding that you can get inside and not, you know, LeBron likes to go to the foul line, as did Kobe. So it could force them to take more outside shots or more two-point shots, jumper, you know, mid-range. I don't think LeBron would have scored as many points. I think it would look good for his turnover efficiencies, but you know, this is speculation. I'll look at them for their ears. I personally can appreciate all three players for what they brought to the game. And my personal favorite is Kobe. You know, it's, I don't think it takes away from LeBron's greatness that he started the Super 10 thing. But he did. You know, he left a team that won 66 games to join another team with players that he already played with before on Team USA. Now, I mean, that's, it's not as bad as Kevin Durant playing against a team that he lost to just a month ago. It's not as bad, but it's about the same thing. He only went to a better team with more players that can do better players that can do more, and he did it. You know, everybody remembers the decision. They did it. It was unpopular. Apparently, the Cavs found out by email. Kevin Durant famously didn't tell Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook found out like the rest of everybody, you know. And that's one of the biggest things. KD was, you know, so defensive with Russell Westbrook. He was on his team the whole, you know. I remember when Mark Cuban said something about him. You know, he was on his side. It made it seem like that all of the talk that everybody was saying that Russell Westbrook was ruining KD's career by, you know, ball hogging or not letting him get the last shot. You know, he confirmed that by leaving, even though he gave all reasons for us to believe that that wasn't the case, by how he acted and what he said. I just think it was a little bit disingenuous. So I'm happy for him, though. Happy for the Golden State Warriors. Sad for the Cavs, man. I mean, just looking up to next year. I had a good run. I do think that the Cleveland Cavaliers, long as they got LeBron, they'll be there. Other rumors are coming out saying that LeBron, who has under contract for next year and has an option, he will leave and go to the Los Angeles Lakers or Los Angeles Clippers. I think that that idea is highly doubtable unless the Lakers make some type of miracle change in their roster to be contending and the Cavs do something really, really stupid again. However, be the case, long live the King. He is one of the greatest players of all time. I'm not one of those people who's saying that Kevin Durant is better than LeBron James simply because of finals. LeBron's still the best player in the NBA right now. And LeBron, KD's win didn't change that. Got an exciting offseason to go to, man. Got a lot of things coming up, a lot of shakeups, a lot of free agents. We'll see where Chris Paul goes. If he wants to stay with the Clippers or go to the Spurs. The Clippers want to trade Blake Griffin. Who are the Lakers going to pick? How would the Sixers look with all of those picks playing together? You know, what's going to be the status of a lot of the players? So with that, again, thank you for listening to me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'll see you another day on How to Get Away with Basketball. And as we go out, I do want to leave you guys with a couple of messages. This show is sponsored by iGuide Mobile Solutions, computer and phone repair, as well as AZ Vision Media Studios, specializing in photography and videography. Good night, folks.